good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Another cold one this morning as we keep our eye on an impending snowstorm, which could slam the area sometime Saturday. We thank you for tuning in. Our big three stories, well, why not start with that storm? We really don't know what's going to happen. Ken Boone at the Weather Channel is saying we see between 6 and 12 inches throughout the area, but the models are all over the place. And for once, it sounds like north and west is not the problem. It's east, and maybe maybe Suffolk County will get the worst of it, and also New England. Well, we'll see. I mean, these things obviously change between now and then, but that leads off the big three is here comes that big snowstorm, perhaps on Saturday. Also in the big three, 83-year-old liberal Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer is going to retire after this term. That'll be in June. Joe Biden will get a Supreme Court pick. He has said he wants to nominate a black woman. Now, he and Breyer are going to hold an event at the White House later today. And to round out the big three, President Biden is going to travel to the city a week from today to meet with Eric Adams to discuss reducing gun violence. Meanwhile, Governor Hochul does not want to change the bail reform laws. So,
well, that's going to help. That's great.
I don't know if that's a good idea, Michael. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I mean, I think she's just tacking to the left to keep the progressive wing happy of the Democratic Party so that no one challenges her in the primary. I think that's what that's all about, well, frankly.
We shall see. It's going to be interesting. And
what do you think, Joe? You agree with me?
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, she's definitely, placating the liberal wing of the party. Yes, because common sense people, even Lynn. Common sense people know we need some changes. Judges have to have some discretion, and you have to put people behind bars if they commit a crime with a gun.
But you do have to somehow take into account the poor guy who's waiting 2 years for a trial in solitary in Rikers because he can't afford a little bit of bail. So, I mean, there's two sides to the story, but by and large, you have to give the judge some discretion and more discretion.
Absolutely.
Than a broad brush law will give him. All right, let's bring in our buddy Sean Spicer. Sean, of course, the former press secretary for Donald Trump, hosts Spicer and Company weeknights on Newsmax from 6 to 9. He's got a brand new book out, and he was kind enough to send me a copy, which was very nice. You get a copy, Michael? It was very nice.
I did. I got it too, yeah. Yep. In fact, I was looking at it last night, and it's pretty good. Not as good as my books, but it's good. It's good.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what's the name of this book, Sean? I don't have it written down here.
Radical Nation.
Radical Nation.
Radical Nation. Radical. Well, here's the thing, Sean. Only one thing annoyed me. You were kind enough to have a little card in the book with your autograph on it, but you didn't sign the book. Oh, come on.
Yeah,
what's the
true.
Deal with throwing a card in with your name? Why don't you take the damn time to sign the book?
Let's just recap what happened here. I sent a free book to you, Len, right?
Yeah.
So that you would,
yeah.
And then what do you, it's, here's what you didn't do. It's always, the left always has a problem with what else they didn't get for free. You know, it's not, hey, thanks. Not, I appreciate it. I like the book. You know what else I didn't get? You know what's wrong with the cover? My son got, I got a paper cut.
That's,
you know what's wrong with the pages?
That was good, Sean. That was good.
It's true, Sean. I mean, for God's sake.
Okay, okay. Thanks for the book. I may even look at it someday. Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Your former boss.
He gave me my wrist. I got it hurt.
Sean, are you okay now? Your former boss. It seems to be hung up on crowd size. Now, I'm not even getting into you. This has nothing to do with you. He had this whole thing Inauguration Day, and then he was on with Lou Dobbs the other day talking about the Capitol Hill riot.
Don't forget, they went there to protest the results of the election. There were hundreds of thousands of people there, hundreds of thousands, went all the way back to the Washington Monument, and bigger than any crowd I believe I've ever spoken to. You never hear about that. They never show you the pictures of that crowd.
You never hear it. You never... Come on. You going to defend this now, Mr. Spicer?
No, but I actually can't believe that on a day where we've got everything else going on in the world, the Supreme Court justice is retiring, and we're talking about how many people showed up on the... I mean, I'll be... I'm with you. Like, I don't know why we're talking about this, though.
Okay.
Well, because Sean, I'll tell you why. Because Len is like every typical mainstream media liberal. They cannot give up Donald Trump because they know if they don't talk about him, they got to talk about the incompetence, the feeble-mindedness of Joe Biden. So they keep going back to Donald Trump.
I mean, I got to be honest. Like, of all the things that are happening, I'm sitting here going, this is, I actually pay quite a bit of attention to what's going on. And actually, I knew he had done an interview with Dobbs. I hadn't listened to the whole thing, but I had seen some posts that Lou had done. I didn't hear that clip, but I'm like, I don't know why. I mean, honestly, I'll concede the point. I don't know why we shouldn't focus on. Yeah.
Sean. All right. So when Biden says he's going to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court, are you okay with that?
Sean, too, Len, none.
That's right.
What? Well, it depends who's keeping the score. But anyway.
Michael's keeping score.
I am. And I know the score. But trust me on this show. Believe me.
All right, Spicy. What do you think? Biden says he's picking a black woman for the Supreme Court. You okay with that?
Well, I mean, here's the way I look at this. He's the president. He gets to pick who he wants. I think that I look at this two ways. Politically, it's smart to do, right? I'll give him that. He has failed them. They have been a very reliable base for him, and it's an easy win. I think it's the way he's handled this has been unbelievably stupid. This idea of saying I'm completely and utterly only choosing someone because of their gender and the color of their skin, just it demeans the quality of the person that you're getting. It's basically like saying, I'm only choosing you because your gender, the chromosomes in your body, and the color of your skin. Don't worry about the quality of who you are, but I'm going to narrow that pool so small that don't think you got picked because you're really, really good at it and you're the most eminently qualified person. I just can't imagine that you got to think you're the best person for the job if you get picked. So I think they've totally bungled how they've done this. If he had just said, I'm going to pick the best person, and then it was a black woman, he would have looked awesome. And he went out and literally said, I'm going to pick a black woman. So he shut out everybody else, and he basically has completely done the opposite of what Martin Luther King said that he wanted to do. Martin Luther King said, I don't want people judged on the content of their he wanted to be judged on the content of their character, not on the color of their skin. What Biden's doing is going out and saying, I only want to judge you on the color of your skin. It's insane. We've moved backwards.
All right. Sean, on the bigger picture here, though, I think there was a fundamental mistake that Joe Biden has made, which is going to sink his presidency. He was elected to be a sensible, moderate person. And now he has gone too far to the left. And I don't think the country is with him. And I think that's what's going to kill him.
So look, since you both have three copies of Radical Nation, here's the point that I make in the book.
Three? I got one. I got one copy, and it wasn't even autographed. They put in a little card with an autograph on it. Yeah. Very disappointing.
Len, let it go.
Very disappointing.
Now I will send you the free autograph now, okay? There you go. Another freebie. Here's the thing. I will tell you this. I believe in the case that I make is this. Biden understands legacy better than anybody else. And so what he has done is he chose his vice president, Kamala Harris, based on the color of her skin. He said, I'm going to choose the first black woman of color. He chose the Secretary of Transportation to be the first LGBTQ person to lead a department. He chose the first four-star transgender person to lead a department, which is the Public Health Service Department. He chooses people to check boxes so that he can be the most progressive president ever, which is what he said he would do on the campaign trail. None of this should come as a surprise, because what he wants to do is be the North Star to the progressive movement going forward, so that for every future president, they look and say, but Biden appointed the first, now you must appoint two, you must appoint three, you must appoint four. But for thus going forward, it is Biden that will have appointed the first fill in the blank. And now it will be he was appointed the first female black Supreme Court justice. But he gets to say he did the first. He doesn't have to do any other policy. And he won't. As Michael pointed out correctly, all of these other policy items are an abject failure. He doesn't have to pass Build Back Better. He doesn't have to pass anything else, because he can say, I did all of this stuff for the progressive movement that will be done in perpetuity, and he's right. But all he did was check boxes. But that's all they needed to have him do.
Wow. Wow, Sean Spicer all wound up and nowhere to go today except on our radio with us. Thank you, Sean.
No, 6 o'clock tonight. We got a lot more to
Oh, that's right. Don't forget Sean Spicer's show, Spicer and Company, weeknights on Newsmax at 6 and 9, and his unbelievable free book without an autograph, Radical Nation. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Right, take care.
Always good talking to you. Hey, we get back. It's time for our morning dose of Ukraine. Man, I feel better. You can't get enough of Ukraine. Thank goodness we have Michael to walk us through it, and that is coming up next.
OR.
Before we get to Ukraine and what Vladimir Putin is going to be doing in Europe, which is going to mess things up, thought we should talk a little bit about my buddy Hugh Jackman, who is going to be opening on February 10th in The Music Man. And Len, I don't know if you saw that email that I sent you. I forwarded it to you, and I said to Hugh, you know, I'm going to come to the opening. And I said, you better deliver the goods. And he wrote me back. He said, I'm on it. That's what he said.
Well, good. Well, I think you have to whip. Sometimes you have to whip these superstars into shape, Michael. That's your job.
It is
true. Do it very well.
Yeah. So I got an email yesterday from Peter, and Peter actually saw Hugh Jackman in The Music Man the other night, and he's got some funny tales to tell just about how you know Hugh can kind of screw things up and things go wrong, and how he just is so charismatic. He writes the day and saves the show. So Peter, welcome to the show. And what happened with Hugh? Didn't he fall down or something like that? That you were telling me.
Hey, Michael, thanks. Yeah, during the big You Got Trouble in River City number, he fell down and he hit another performer, a male guy, and he looked at him after he fell and he just said, you got this, like to take it over. He sat on the floor for a few seconds and then he got up and, I mean, the audience went wild. They were just screaming that he just got back up and he wasn't injured. And the show went on. And then another funny thing happened that during the Pick a Little Lady number, one of the actresses came out and she still had her mask on from backstage. And she whipped it off when she saw that. Like someone tapped her and said, your mask. And she said, oh. And so she ripped it off. And then in the third act, Sutton Foster has to push him during the Till There Was You number that she's singing. She pushes him so hard that he almost falls again, and then it took her a good minute or two to regain her composure. She just kept her mouth over her hand, I mean her hand over her mouth, and said, like, oh my God, I just pushed him so hard. But great show, and just costumes like anything. It was terrific. A great night in the theater.
Yeah. And was the house full?
You saw maybe one or two empty seats in the orchestra, but I think those are, you know, like the $500 seats.
See, here's my disappointment. If he was any good, when he fell by accident, he should have turned to the audience and said, we've got trouble right here at River City. But obviously, he's not that quick.
We've got trouble right at the Winter Garden.
Right. Right. But you got to say, Peter. But Peter, I have to say, listen, I've been covering Broadway for, you know, going on 32 or 33 years. You don't see many people like Hugh Jackman come along in a lifetime. The guy just, nothing, you can throw anything at him, and he just picks it up and runs with it and has a good time, and the audience is in on the joke.
You do not take your eyes off him the entire time he's on stage. He's mesmerizing. Just mesmerizing. And Michael, I do have a question. I sent that email at 11 o'clock last night. What are you doing off at that hour?
Yeah. What are you?
Well, I don't want to get into that. So thanks, Peter. Call us anytime.
Thanks for calling, Peter.
800-321-0710. Bye, Peter. That's it. I was sleeping in shifts. Lou, okay. Our sound man, told me to sleep in shifts. So anyway, Ukraine.
Yeah, tell us all about it because we can't get enough.
I was going to ask you, Len, do you have some thoughts on Ukraine?
Yeah, where is it? It doesn't end with an H. Oh, no, that's Bangladesh.
All right, here's the thing, though. In all seriousness, folks, so Vladimir Putin is testing not only the United States and Joe Biden. He's testing the West. He's testing Western Europe, a democracy, okay? And he's going to see if the Europeans have the strength to stand up to his reconstituting the Soviet Union. And to be all, in all honesty, I don't think the French, I don't think the Germans, I don't think they've got it in them to really battle for the freedom of people in Ukraine, in Crimea, ultimately probably Poland. I just don't think the Europeans have that in their constitution anymore, Len. And I think they will allow Vladimir Putin just to take what he wants.
Well, Ukraine's not in NATO. That's kind of one of the issues here. And Biden wants the United States to guarantee that Ukraine will never get into NATO. And the U.S. Says, no, we're not going to make that guarantee. So I don't know what forces Germany or France or these other countries to come to Ukraine's defense. I don't know. They're not going to be obligated to do so. So, yeah, but then again, you have to ask yourself, how long is he poised on the... How long have we been saying he's got these troops poised on... Well, what's he doing there? And how long is he going to keep them poised? All right?
Testing. He's testing us. And here's the thing, though. And you can, you know, you can say, oh, we don't care about Ukraine. But there are a lot of people in Ukraine who had the taste of freedom for the last 20 years or so. And that freedom is going to be snatched away from them. And that is a terrible, terrible thing. And I don't think that the NATO allies should stand for that. That's the problem. That's my fear.
Okay. Now we know.
He doesn't care. All right. Okay,
I do care, but I either do it or don't do it. Enough with this poised.
Biden should call Putin and say, you know what? We know where your dining room table is, and we can drop a drone nuke on your head. So knock it off. That's what he should say. Well, all right, news time, 8:30 from Joe Bartlett. I'm right about this, Joe. I mean, shouldn't Biden be a little stronger with Putin here?
He doesn't know how to be strong. He doesn't know how to be strong.
Oh, yeah, the way Trump was with Putin. Yeah, absolutely. Same deal. What did he say, Vlad? Can I build my hotel now?
That's not true. And by the way, Putin nibbled on Crimea not during Trump's administration. It was during Obama's administration.
I was waiting for that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know. All right.
Anyway, all right. Very well said, Michael. Officer Jason Rivera going to be remembered today. A wake going to be held at St. Patrick's Cathedral this afternoon, a week after that ambush in Harlem left him and another officer, Wilbert Mora, dead. Last night, there was a vigil, again, at the 32nd Precinct to remember Officer Mora.
To know that there's not going to be another roll call that ends, and you're not making a joke, smiling, or laughing out loud. Your smile lit up a room.
Funeral for Rivera is set for tomorrow. Mora's funeral will be next Wednesday at St. Pat's. Mayor Adams and Governor Hochul doing battle over bail reform now. Adams wants changes that would give judges more discretion and allow teenagers charged with gun crime to be tried in criminal court. But Governor Hochul doesn't think bail reform is the reason behind this spike in crime.
I'm looking for the data that shows me that bail reform is the reason that somehow crime is going up in 90 of 100 cities in New York.
Hochul says she stands behind
the
premise.
I don't think it's data. I think it's common sense. What are you talking about, data? You need data? Really? Yeah. If a guy commits a crime and you let him out on the street, he's going to commit a crime again? Really? You want data?
That's right. The guy commits a crime with a gun. He doesn't go to jail. Back out on the street, does it again. Doesn't go to jail again.
Ridiculous.
Somebody better get to her.
Yep.
Anyway, she thinks she's going to solve the problem by taking illegal guns off the street, working with 9 other states, had this task force meeting yesterday to stop the flow of guns into New York. The gun used to kill the two NYPD officers last week in Harlem had been stolen in Baltimore. She says gun violence is a national crisis, and they're seeing a dramatic increase in the number of guns crossing the border into the hands of criminals. And this is such a problem that President Biden is going to travel to the city next Thursday to meet with Mayor Adams to discuss gun violence. In announcing the meeting, the White House says Biden has provided historic levels of funding for cities to put more cops on the beat. Now, speaking of crime, the MTA now admitting that crime and homelessness is a problem in the subway system. The chairman, John Oliber, says it's causing fear among commuters and they're not taking the subway as a result. Ridership was down 36%. In the past month. 83-year-old Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer going to announce his retirement today. He was nominated by President Clinton in 1994 and has been a reliable vote for the liberals on the high court. The president says he is going to pick a black woman as the replacement for Breyer. White House downplayed that. They also have not, well, I don't know if they haven't ruled out. They were asked about whether or not Kamala Harris might be the choice, and Circleback Psaki was pretty tricky about talking about that. She just said, well, I don't think so. Finally,
well,
here.
They got to get rid of her. I mean, Kamala Harris is a terrible vice president. Drag on the ticket. They got to shuffle her off somewhere. I guess the Supreme Court is a good a place as any.
She'd be a perfect choice. I mean, even Len would probably agree on that one.
Oh, it'll tingle down his leg.
Really?
I don't. Hey, Len, let's talk about tennis, okay? I know you don't want to talk about Ukraine. You don't want to talk about gun violence.
What do you got?
History at the Australian Open. Ash Barty has reached the finals. First Australian woman to do that in more than 40 years. Who was the last one?
Oh, I knew this one. Yeah, go ahead. You got it in front of you. I had it.
Wendy Turnbull.
Oh, right.
Wendy Turnbull. Exactly.
No Australian woman has won it since...
Wendy Turnbull.
Margaret Wade. I don't know who.
Chris O'Neill.
Who?
Oh, Chris O'Neill.
Chris O'Neill, 1978. Chris. Come on. You were doing sports, weren't you?
Chris O'Neill. I don't even know the name of the American she's going to face now.
Okay. So much for that.
You have in front of you?
That I don't know. Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
That's the headline. The headline is she's going to face an American in the final. Joe, do the story.
Danielle Collins,
who no one heard of. But she's in the final against, I don't think she's got a chance. And talk about a home field edge for Ash Barty.
I'm kind of lost here. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but okay.
Yeah, well.
Four chat there, Joe.
A lot of love.
Got anything else there, Joe? Or that's it?
Oh, I think that's quite enough.
Okay, well.
Scrape the barrel.
Good news, Cass. All right, coming up next, ABC Entertainment reporter Larry Hackett will be with us. What is going on with Adele? That is the big subject of conversation in the entertainment business. Coming up next.
Well, there's no shortage of big entertainment headlines floating around, and we have our buddy Larry Hackett, the ABC Entertainment contributor, on the line. Larry, I found it interesting. You sent over a bunch of great stories, and... you didn't have Adele on the list, and Michael and I have just been fascinated by this apparent major meltdown on her part. She couldn't even rehearse. I mean, what's doing with her out in Vegas?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, she was concerned about the show going on because of COVID and what's happening there. You know, if you listen to her new record, she is very emotional. There's a song, the second song on the album, which is where she's telling her son about the fact that she's getting a divorce. And on this interesting but kind of odd song, she breaks down while she's talking to her kid. So she's a very emotional woman. You know, she doesn't appear a lot. You know, one of the things that gives Adele her power is kind of this old school notion of publicity and fame. You know, she makes a record every 5 years. So the fact of the matter is, when this happens, it's a big deal, and she puts a lot into her performances. So I think that's what this is about.
Well, but Larry, here's the thing, though. She signed a big contract. I don't know what she's getting paid, like $600,000 per performance or something like that. And now she's jilting the Vegas people, you know, pretending that, oh, it's about COVID. It's about supply chain problems. When it's really about, when you're reading these stories, that she was being a diva and throwing hissy fits behind the scenes.
Well, one person's personal problem is another person's diva, Michael. I don't need to explain that to you, right? I mean, this is what artists are about, right? I mean, at times they do things that we don't really understand. I have a feeling that she will come around. You know, she's been around for 10 years or so, and this has not been something that has dogged her. Nobody has ever claimed this kind of behavior on her part. So it could be something temporary. It could be something, frankly, that's occurring in her personal life that maybe she'll iron out. But this is not someone who has been, you know, like, as I say, dogged through her career as being temperamental. In fact, quite the opposite. I remember seeing her perform at the Grammys several years ago. Well, I guess when the last record came out. And she was unbelievably professional. So this could be a temporary issue that might get solved. She seems to be somebody who honors her commitments, and we'll see what happens.
Well, that's the question, though. So what do you do if you're Caesar's Palace? Do you sue her, or do you just, you know, say, okay, we'll give you some room and let you do whatever you have to do, and then we'll reconstitute the whole show? Or do you go after and say you violated the contract?
I think time will tell. I think you give it some time, you give it some room, you see what happens, you see if an accommodation can be reached. I mean, look, a place like Caesar's, I have to imagine over the 60 or 70 years that there have been lounge acts at Caesar's, everything from the Rat Pack to Helen Reddy to fill in the blanks, there have been issues where people either can't perform or don't want to perform, or they want to redo their contracts, or they want a nicer room. or they want red M&Ms in their rider. You know, they'll iron this out. I think in the days of social media, this gets a lot of attention, but I think they'll figure this thing out.
All right, Larry Hackett, on your list of all these entertainment stories of the week, what else is floating your boat?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think the Neil, you know, I never thought I would mention the words Neil Young and Cardi B in the same story, but it seems as if there are two issues going on here that, you know, have a certain relationship to one another regarding free speech. So the first one is Neil Young, which, of course, a lot of listeners know Neil Young. They've been listening to him for many, many, many years. His music has been pulled from Spotify. Commercial one.
Our newsman's talking in the background. Just ignore him, Larry.
Joe,
we ignore him. We ignore him most of the time anyway.
So Neil's music has been pulled from Spotify because Neil doesn't like Joe Rogan, and messages that Joe Rogan has on his podcast involving vaccination. Joe Rogan, as you might know, signed a deal with Spotify last year for what is estimated to be $100 million. And Neil Young has always been very persnickety about where his music appears. And he has decided he didn't want Warner Brothers to allow Spotify to have his music while they were promoting what he believes are false narratives about the vaccine. So, in fact, Spotify has taken it off. Meanwhile, you've got Cardi B over here, who has won a $4 million judgment against a YouTube gossip columnist who, for the past 4 years, has made claims that Cardi B is a prostitute, that her child is illegitimate, that she has herpes, and made all kinds of claims, told to stop, didn't stop, and drove Cardi B to what Cardi B says was suicide, considerations of suicide. A judge said, I don't care if it's YouTube, I don't care what era we live in, you can't say false things about someone and get away with it. And this woman now owes $4 million to the rapper. So interesting ideas of free speech running around in the new social media world that we have.
Well, let's say, so let's take this up. Sarah Palin is suing the New York Times because they said that she put a target on Gabby Gifford's face and she never did that. So should Sarah Palin win that suit as well?
Wow, we were just talking about Cardi B. How did we get to Sarah Palin?
Well, no, it's about public figures being sued or suing. You know.
I think in all of these cases, you consider the facts involved, right? I think in the case of the New York Times, but the idea that we're comparing the New York Times to some YouTube gossip columnist, I don't know. But I think the case has to be judged on its merits, and you look at each one. I mean, the Times case, I know that James Bennett, the then editorial editor, apologized. I think there's more to this case, obviously, than just the New York Times and what they said. There's obviously the whole political ramifications and the mainstream media, et cetera, et cetera. I think in the case of Cardi B, what you have is people who, frankly, were not – whether the New York Times made a mistake is one thing or another. The New York Times is a professional media organization that knows how to apologize, and at least often does, and knows what's at stake when they say things about people. You have to imagine in the case of this YouTube woman, she had no idea what she was getting into, and she thought it was okay to go on YouTube and say terrible things about someone and not pay the price. And now she's learned the hard way that that's not exactly how this works. And if you have millions of people watching your YouTube channel – and you say false things repeatedly about someone, even if they're a celebrity, you're going to get called out and you're going to get in trouble.
Larry Hackett, ABC Entertainment contributor, endlessly fascinating. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, fellas.
Take care.
Okay.
All Bye-bye. Right, coming up next, Alice Stockton Rossini. There only seems to be one issue in town these days, crime. She talks to New Yorkers next.
Hey, you want to start the new year off by committing to focusing on your overall health. So you want to take Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. You got real 31 whole ripened fruits and vegetables ground into capsules that are going to give you over 10 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. You want to call Balance of Nature today and use the promo code WOR to get 35% off your first preferred order, and it's going to be shipped to you free right to your door. You'll get over 10 servings of fruits and vegetables a day to help boost your immune system and improve your overall health. So you want to call Balance of Nature today at 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. And remember to use the promo code WOR. Now, with all the junk that we put into our bodies over the holidays, you want to balance out your diet. You want to balance out your health by getting real fruits and vegetables from Balance of Nature every single day. So call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use the promo code WOR to get 35% off your first preferred order. Going to be shipped to you free, but you have to remember to use the promo code WOR. Good morning, everybody. Want to check in on what's going on with crime here in New York City. And I got to be honest with you, Len. I've lived here for 30 years. I came here in 1986, guess it was. And it was a pretty kind of, you know, crazy city. And I had a few incidents on the subway back then. It was kind of scary at times. And then all of a sudden, I guess into the 90s, when Rudy Giuliani was the mayor and Bill Bratton was police commissioner, you had a sense that there was a handle on crime here in the city. But I have to tell you, Lynn, I rode the subway yesterday. There were some weird people on the platform and in the train cars. And we got to get a handle on the stuff that's going on here. I mean, crime is going up, no question about it. And the city just feels a little, I don't know. I mean, I was in Times Square. It's not the old city that I loved. It's going back to the bad old days, got to say. I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't know because you go to the mailbox and that's it.
All right, enough. Go to Alice. All
right. Let's go to Alice Stockton Rossini. We put her on the streets to find out how New Yorkers are feeling about crime rising in New York. And Alice, am I wrong about this? Are people concerned about what's going on around here?
No, but yes, there's lots of people, plenty of people that are concerned. And we hear the same we hear the same things every day and the same concerns every day. But let's look at the big picture. According to the Gun Violence Archive, gun violence took off nationwide in the spring of 2020 when COVID shut down most of the country. Schools went online. More than 20 million people lost their jobs. That July, there were 58 shooting deaths a day in America. 2020, the deadliest year of gun violence in 20 years. Last year, the number of deaths and shootings that injured or killed one person exceeded those of the first 5 months of 2020. 81,000 people, or 54 a day, were killed. So New York is clearly not alone. Homicides during the pandemic have been on the rise in both Republican and Democratic cities with varying policies. Now, here in New York, everybody wants guns off the streets. So here's one way to go.
Get the guns off the street.
How?
Bring back street crime unit. Let them do their job.
He's doing it.
Exactly. Put them in every borough. Break the back of the gangs. The violent gangs are shooting it out. Innocent kids. This is disgusting.
But, you know, they're talking about the iron pipeline. Guns coming in from states that don't have...
Where's the ATF? Where is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives? Exactly. Make them do their job.
Wouldn't that have to take an act of Congress?
Haven't we passed enough federal legislation on gun control? Get them to enforce the laws that are on the books. I used to be a federal agent. I used to enforce the laws. Why don't they do their jobs?
So what's happening here?
I think poor leadership all around.
All right. So the ATF should enforce the laws, but could more be done?
That's why things need to be done on the federal level. Do a background check. Make sure they're not a mentally ill person. Make sure they're not a serial killer before you hand somebody a firearm. That's it. Trevor Noah said it best. He's like, America is just like 50 countries masquerading as one. We have so many different policies in so many different places. All you have to do is move states and you're in a completely different situation. If you make federal change and the whole country has to comply, then that won't happen. But it's different because you have to change a culture of a people, because guns are very much part of a culture as soon as you get to the South, especially.
All right. So bail reform. Everybody wants to, undo bail reform without really understanding why it's here.
I think it's from people who are speaking from a place of privilege, who have never had to worry about bail and who have never had to be in a situation where I can't afford to pay this. So now I have to sit here for however long, when then some person who committed the exact same crime doesn't have to because they have the money to get out of that situation. I think a lot of the people who are talking about how much they don't like it are people who will never have to be in that position.
And for a lot of people, that argument falls on deaf ears.
I believe that if you do a crime, you should do the time. I know that's an old 1970s kind of saying, but I don't see anything except someone doing a crime. I don't care what they look like. I don't care where they're from. I don't care anything. If someone commits a crime, someone commits a crime.
And it should be the same for everybody.
I believe so.
And that's not happening under bail reform.
I don't think so.
She's right about that.
250,000 16 to 24-year-olds in New York City who are not in school or employed. And that's another part of the problem. The mayor is promising an unprecedented summer jobs youth program. It's not an easy answer here, guys. It's going to take a while, and it's going to take a multi-pronged approach, not just in New York City, but nationwide. Okay, kids.
All right, thanks, Alice. Got to run. Coming up next, this is a fascinating story. A man waiting for a heart transplant was removed from the waiting list because he wasn't vaccinated. Is that fair? And your next chance to win $1,000 coming up after the news. It is 9 o'clock.